is asking what to do when for oneself divine is an idea, not a felt reality. How do you pray then when divine is still an idea and not a lived reality?
So that's how it is with everyone, that in the beginning divine is an idea, except for the very, very blessed souls which have been prepared, the divine starts with an idea. Now, if you go deeper into the idea, let's say, for example, it's true of actually any pursuit. I have an idea that there is a truth concealed in the world. Now, shall I leave it with this idea, act according to a belief, or shall I probe deeper into this idea and discover if there is any truth or not? Scientists do it all the time. They go behind solid objects to discover what is there within it. So this idea needs to be nurtured with faith and aspiration. So it is like the image that is described is that the idea is like an egg, and our faith is that there is something inside the egg, and the aspiration is like the hen which is heating it up. So that's the tapas, that's the tapasya, that aspire with faith. So when we aspire with faith on this idea that there is a divine reality somewhere, then slowly, slowly, as the chick gets formed, the idea begins to change into the reality to which it corresponds, and one day it will emerge and release itself. It's not a sudden event, though it can be like that, but slowly one begins to feel like a baby in the womb. Slowly one begins to feel through various signs, and eventually one day the baby is out. So that's how one has to start. Meditate on the idea, contemplate upon the idea, aspire for this idea or the truth behind the idea. Now, how do we pray at that point of time? Prayer is also a means. Just as we aspire for the idea, prayer is a means to come in contact with the idea. That if there is a divine reality, the divine reality definitely is not a jara tattva. Now, I mean, it's a material reality. It can't hear me or listen or understand. So make the idea so wide that this divine reality is the very stuff of our being, nearer than my breath. So if that idea is so vast, then our little prayer will help come in contact with the divine, and the response will come. So enlarge the idea, make it all comprehensive, all inclusive, make it as integral as possible, and then meditate upon it, contemplate upon it, and pray to it for everything, whatever way we conceive, doesn't matter. So divine knows all in our head, he knows our conception, because he has made us, he has become us. So that's how we should proceed, in brief. Yes. Faith is the most important condition. So we should be in a state of faith, and that faith implies that basically that the one to whom we are praying, doesn't matter which way, whatever our conception of the divine is, there is a reality in that. So if faith is missing, if the mind is full of doubts, then there is a problem. So the other part is, so how to cultivate faith? So the paradox is, ask for faith. That's how Mother puts it. Ask for faith, because prayer should be full of faith, trust, and confidence. So faith means that basically, the divine exists and the divine is for real. And trust means that the divine will hear, he is somebody whom I can trust myself and my destiny. And confidence is that there is this divine grace which is capable of doing everything. So prayer, even sometimes we have faith in the divine that the divine is there, but we start with a doubt that, well, divine is there, but he cannot grant me anything, whether, you know, maybe freedom from ignorance or even desire for that matter. So there should be faith with trust and confidence. There are people who say, oh, it's my karma, what can the divine do? Don't bring all these things. If the divine mother wills, anything and everything is possible. But yes, there should be surrender. So faith and surrender that, well, if he grants or doesn't grant, leave it to him, because she knows what is best for us. And then faith that she is hearing us, she is there, and if she wishes or if she wants, everything is possible. So faith and surrender are the only conditions required. There are no outer conditions. I have seen this in my, after all, you know, earth prayer is in a state of distress. And I have seen this so many times in my life, including in real dangerous situations. So if you take it that the divine is right there in our heart, and pray with faith and confidence in the grace, faith and surrender, then that's the best way. There are no outer conditions. One can pray all the time. Yes, so apprehension one has to remove. So I just saw a question pop up. So apprehension comes to challenge us. Absolutely, it comes to challenge us. And this challenge comes from several notions that we carry in the head. So for example, there is the notion, karmic theory is one of the big problems in India. That, oh, I did my karma, how can the divine help me? But the mother says the divine grace can completely cancel karma. She says that in so many words. And she says, sometimes just a little aspiration and just a little faith is required. These are her words. And the divine grace can completely annul karma. Now, if we have a notion in the head that, well, I have done my karma, bad karma, everybody somehow has more faith in karma than in grace. I am not entering into the law of karma, which is a different subject. But we should have the faith that, well, these are my ideas, my conception. But the divine is always greater than all my conceptions. I'll tell you just one short little real story. Real story means with my own life, that somebody had met with a very serious head injury, very dear to me. And, you know, I could foresee that this is going to lead to death as a doctor and every way. And I just prayed to the mother that, you know, may she come alive. And then the divine mother sort of communicated to me, what if her soul chooses to leave, has chosen to leave? And I just remember saying, mother, your will can override everything, including the soul's choice. And then there was a deep peace. Everything then suddenly turned the other way around. So grace can completely annul everything. So grace is the ultimate, but again, it should be with surrender. So pray with faith and surrender. If you don't have faith, live in the company of those who have faith. Communicate with those who are full of faith. Read books which will inspire us to faith and ask the divine to remove all doubts and to grow in faith. Yes. Okay, so how to conquer desires for something greater, higher? Let's put it in one word, desire for progress. It's actually in spiritual terms not really called as desire, but it's called as the urge for progress. And this is not something which one should let go of. To do your work better and better is part of the service to the divine. The only thing is that when we learn, when we go for study, we should study with this idea that may my mind and instrument become supple, and whatever I am studying, let's say as a doctor, let's take one example. Now, I can take it that, well, this is a desire for progress and therefore I shouldn't pay much attention to it. I should conquer it and just study mechanically. But I can take the other attitude that let me study well, have all the technical knowledge and place it at the service of the divine. So basically, whatever we do, art or studies or games, we should do it with this idea. Say games, I am offering my body to the divine so that he can use this body in a better way, in a more, you know, healthier way, so that I have a good health and it can become his instrument. If I am studying so that the mind can become rich and complex and wide so that the divine can use it better way. If I am drawing or painting or any other work of art, may this art express more and more the beauty of the eternal. So on the contrary, we should keep this earth but surrender it to the divine for his purpose and his use. That's all that is required. Now it is true that there comes a point when the progress is also given in the hands of the divine. Now, this is a very subtle difference. The subtle difference is that we should not do it with a state of anxiety. Oh, I want to progress. I am meditating. Here, there is too much of I. That, well, has my painting become more beautiful? Now, this is ego. It's a very subtle difference. So, one has to keep on doing it. The urge for progress is an unending thing. One can always progress, learn, progress anywhere through everything, every communication, interaction. But it should not become the desire in the sense of, you know, maybe appreciating oneself or wanting to, you know, have an experience. So that is the line. That's where we have to say that whether I progress inwardly or not, it is the divine's lookout, not mine. Because if I am monitoring my progress, then still the ego. But yes, I should strive to do better and better. Even if I in cooking, in cleaning, in everything, better and better. Work should become better and better, but with the idea not of appreciation from others, not with the idea that I'll get acknowledgement or, you know, be regarded by others as someone or something, but simply because this work is my means of prayer to the divine. As the mother has put it so beautifully, work is the body's prayer to the divine. So we should not deprive the body of this prayer, because all other prayers are going from the mind or the heart. What about the body? It also has to be engaged. So please study well, grow well in art, but only to express the divine, to become an instrument and channel of the divine. Well, so basically there are mechanical prayers to start with very often. There are rote prayers, and there are prayers which just, you know, casually they come to us. But that's okay, doesn't matter, because that's how things begin. It's very difficult to straight away go deep into the soul. So let's start with this assumption that, well, I am praying. It doesn't matter whether it's surface mind or outer personality. Don't analyze, because prayer is a matter of the heart, not a matter of the head. So, well, will this prayer help me? Every little prayer, every little effort, that was the prayer that I read in the beginning. Every little, even imperfect effort. Every little prayer which has come even through the lips, that's somewhere getting documented and somewhere is being watched over by the divine who watches over us. So he will see that here is my child trying to make an effort, stumbling, doesn't know. He has suddenly learned terminologies like surface mind and his intellect is overactive. Doesn't matter. But he knows the heart. He knows. Even when we don't know our heart, he knows the heart. And he responds to that. So don't worry about it. But if you ask for a sign, all prayer that arise from the soul carry a deep certitude of them being heard. There is no question whether they have been heard or not. And they carry a deep peace inside. All other prayers will carry either a doubt from the mind. It brings in doubt. I have prayed. Will it? Won't it? If it comes from the vital, there is restlessness. When will it be granted? How will it be granted? I am praying for union with the divine, even the highest prayer I am saying. But when will it happen? Oh, I haven't changed a little. All this will be the play of the desire self, which is the vital. So always we see the soul movements entangled in the desired self, entangled with the ego, entangled with the mind. But slowly through this, we should continue praying till one day we begin to go deeper. As Sri Aurobindo says very beautifully in the synthesis, that, well, ultimately we have to get over desires. So why does the divine grant sometimes our desires? He, you know, when we pray and he grants it. So Sri Aurobindo says beautifully, so that one day you begin to desire the one who is granting your desires. So automatically, if we continue praying, doesn't matter for what, which way, from which part, one day, by the very fact that it is without our knowledge bringing us closer to him, one day we will begin to pray only for him, to give ourselves to him, which is the highest prayer, Radha's prayer, completely. So don't worry about it. Just pray. And the only sign is soul prayer carries certitude and it brings peace. There is never any restlessness in prayers, even the most intense prayers from the soul. They always carry a peace and even a joy within. Thank you. Thank you so much.